हरे कृष्णा। I welcome all of you to Sri Vrindavan Dham, which is the most auspicious place for devotional service and for chanting and hearing about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. We have been discussing a very important section of Srimad Bhagavatam because it raises a question that is relevant to all of us. The background is that Priyavrata had been living a very renounced life, fully engaged in austerities for spiritual perfection. But his father, Swayambhuva Manu, requested him to give up his austerities and take charge of the kingdom, which was pretty much the universe, because Manu himself wanted to become free to engage in devotional service. And Priyavrata was required to take charge of the kingdom. So Priyavrata asked a very relevant question, that if I give up my life of renunciation and take charge of the kingdom, which would imply entering Grihastha Ashram and living amidst great opulence, how will it affect my spiritual life? This is a question that we all should ask when we contemplate making any change. How will it affect my spiritual life? Will it be favorable or unfavorable? What are the pros and cons? What are the gains and losses? And in yesterday's verse, which Burijan Prabhu so nicely discussed, Lord Brahma, who came to sort of mitigate this not exactly dispute, but this sort of quandary, between the Father and Son. Lord Brahma is the superior authority, being the first created being in the entire universe. So he told Priyavrata, one who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five sense organs is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. So there's quite a lot in that one sentence. And just to make sure that we heard it and remember it, who can say at least part of what we just read, what Lord Brahma told to Priyavrata? Yes. Close. One, repeat it. One who is in household life is like a king. And if he has control of his senses, just to be a little more clear, the household life is compared to a fortress. If we're under attack, then we get protection from a fortress. So who are the attackers? Yes, the mind and the senses. The mind and the senses. So to get protection from the attacks of the mind and the senses, we should take shelter in a fortress. And what is the fortress? In this verse, the fortress is what is the fortress? Grihastha ashram. Because Grihastha ashram can be used to systematically control the mind and senses. That's the purpose. Then Lord Brahma says, after one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. So this is one level of answer. Lord Brahma was assuring him, you can enter Grihastha ashram because in Grihastha ashram you can be systematically trained to control the mind and the senses, and then you don't need to be afraid of anything. You can go anywhere and everywhere without fear. But in the next verse, today's verse, which is the culmination of the whole discussion, Lord Brahma gives another answer on a higher level about how one can be safe And this answer is relevant to all of us. This answer is meant to be applied by all of us. So we should take note. So, please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat. Tvam Tu Abja Nabha Angri Saroja Kosha Durga Ashrita Nirjita Sat Sapatna Bungshva Iha Bogan Purusha Atidishtan Vimukta Sangha Prakritim Bhajasva. Tvam Tvav Jana Bhangri Saroja Kosha. Durga Shrito Nirjita Sat Sapatna. Bhungshveha Bhogan Purushati Dishtan. Vimukta Sangha Prakritim Bhajasva. Tvam Tvav Jana Bhangri Saroja Kosha. Durga Shrito Nirjita Sat Sapatna. Bhungshveha Bhogan Purushadi Dishtan. Vimukta Sangha Prakritim Bhajasva. Any volunteers? Avjana Bhangri Saroja Kosha Durga Shrito Nirjita Sat Sapatna Umshveha Bhogan Purushadi Dishtan Vimukta Sangha Prakritim Brajaspa. Twav Jana Bhangri Saroja Kosha. Durga Shrito Nirjita Sat Sapatna. Umshveha Bhogan Purushadi Dishtan Imukta Sangha Prakritim Bhajasva. Durga Shitoni Jita Satsapatna. Shreya Bhogan Prashadi Dishan. Tasanga Prakritim Vajasa. Ladies, Tav Janabangri Saroja Kosha. Durga Shito Nirjita Sat Sapatna. Vamshve Abogan Purushadi Dishtan. Vimukta Sangha Prakritim Bhajasva. Tam, yourself, to then Abjanaba, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose navel is like a lotus flower, Angri, feet, Saroja, lotus, Kosha, whole, Durga, the stronghold, Ashrita, taken shelter of, Nirjita, conquered, Sasapatna, the six enemies. What are the six enemies? The mind and five senses. Bhungshva, enjoy. Iha, in this material world. Bhogan, enjoyable things. Purusha, by the Supreme Person. Atidishtan, extraordinarily ordered. Vimukta, liberated. Sangha, from material association. Prakritim, constitutional position. Bhajaspa, enjoy. Translation. Lord Brahma continued, my dear Priyavrata, seek shelter inside the opening in the lotus of the feet of the Lord, whose navel is also like a lotus. Thus conquer the six sense organs, the mind and knowledge-acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do this. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders in your constitutional position. Please repeat. Lord Brahma continued, my dear Priyavrata, seek shelter inside the opening in the lotus of the feet of the Lord, whose navel is also like a lotus. Thus conquer the six sense organs, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment, because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do this. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders in your constitutional position. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are three kinds of men within this material world. Those who are trying to enjoy the senses to the utmost are called karmis. Above them are the gyanis, who try to conquer the urges of the senses. And above them are the yogis, who have already conquered the senses. None of them, however, are situated in a transcendental position. Only devotees who belong to none of the above-mentioned groups are transcendental. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26, mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitaityan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Lord Brahma herein advises Priyavrata to remain transcendental in the fortress, not of family life, but of the lotus feet of the Lord. Abja Nabangri Saroja. When a bumblebee enters the opening of a lotus flower and drinks its honey, it is fully protected by the petals of the lotus. The bee is undisturbed by sunshine and other external influences. Similarly, one who always seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead is protected from all dangers. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:58. I'm going to interrupt the purport here, because the verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport was a verse that we would sing every morning in the Boston Temple. And it was a very It was a highlight every day to sing this verse, because the lines are very poetic, and substance is very encouraging. So this was the tune that we used to sing. Samasritaye pada palava plavam mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. I'll sing it again. Samasritaye pada palava plavam mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, everything becomes easier. Indeed, even crossing the great ocean of nescience, bhavam buddhi, is exactly like crossing the hoof print created by a calf, vatsapadam. For such a devotee, there is no question of remaining in a place where every step is dangerous. Our actual duty is to carry out the supreme order of the personality of Godhead. If we are fixed in our determination to carry out the supreme order of the Lord, we are always secure, regardless of where we are situated, whether in hell or in heaven. Herein, the words Prakritim Bhajasva are very significant. Prakritim refers to one's constitutional position. Every living entity has the constitutional position of being an eternal servant of God. Therefore, Lord Brahma advised Priyavrata, be situated in your original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. If you carry out his orders, you will never fall, even in the midst of material enjoyment. Material enjoyment, achieved by dint of one's fruitive activities, differs from material enjoyment given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee sometimes appears to be in a very opulent position, but he accepts the position to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee is never affected by material influences. Now Srila Prabhupada speaks about us. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are preaching all over the world in accordance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the point here, in fact, it's in a way it's the point that Srila Prabhupada made in his concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about following the order of the spiritual master. Here Srila Prabhupada is saying it doesn't matter what position you're in, as long as you're fixed in following the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in particular, he refers to the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, what is the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This we should all know, because this is our order. This is our order from the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming to us through disciplic succession. What is the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He says, Prativiteya Chejato Nagar Adigram Sarvatra Prachor Hoy Be Marna. It means in every town and village of every country of the world, Mahaprabhu's name or Krishna's name should be preached. That is correct. That is one correct answer. Yes. Tare deke tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara gai guru hai tare desh. That wherever you go, whomever you meet, repeat the message of Krishna. In this way, become a guru and liberate everyone in that place. That is also correct. That is also correct. And when you read or hear what Srila Prabhupada has put in the purport, you will appreciate how relevant that verse is. Both, they're the same. They're the same. Now, all right. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are preaching all over the world in accordance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we know what the order is. They have to meet many karmis. Prabhupada is using this word in a technical sense. But he did say that we should not use the word karmi too much. Otherwise, we might feel that we're superior. But here he's using the word with a purpose. They have to meet many karmis, but by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are unaffected by material influences. This is the fact. Maybe not 100% in all cases, but this is the principle. And if we remain fixed on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to us through parampara, through Srila Prabhupada, we will be unaffected. We will be unaffected by material association. So they have to meet many karmis. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are unaffected by material influences. He has blessed them, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 7, Text 129. Kabu na badibe tomara vishaya taranga. Punarapi etani pabe mora sangha. A sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching his cult all over the world will never be affected by Vishaya Taranga, material influences. On the contrary, in due course of time, he will return to the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and will thus have perpetual association with him. So this is a tremendous boon or blessing that if we sincerely preach the message of Krishna, means follow the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world, we will be unaffected by material influences, and in the end, we will gain the eternal association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is very clear. This is very clear. And all we have to do is do it. It's amazing. Now, to give the background of this verse quoted in the purport, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, he visited the home of a devotee named Kurma. And it appears that Kurma was quite materially opulent, because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered his house, he said, "Now my birth, my family, my wealth, everything has become successful." But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to leave, Kurma begged him, "Please do not leave me behind. Please take me with you." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Do not speak like this. Remain at home, and Krishna Nam Nirantara. Remain at home and constantly chant the holy name of Krishna." And Srila Prabhupada comments that especially in Kali Yuga, people are not trained to leave home. They're definitely not ready to leave home abruptly. So this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Brahmin Kurma is for us, that we should not try to abruptly leave home, but stay at home and Krishna Nam Nirantara, constantly chant the holy name of Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, who knows? What's the next instruction Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Brahmin Kurma? You said it, but you don't know that you said it. Yare deke tari kaho Krishna upadesh, amar agyai guru hai tare desh. And then he instructed him, in addition to constantly chanting the holy name, that he should repeat the message of Krishna and in that way become a guru and deliver all of the people where he is. That can begin with, wife, children, friends, relatives, anyone. Yare deke tarika Krishna, wherever you go, whoever you meet, just repeat the message of Krishna. In other words, don't speculate, don't concoct, but repeat the Krishna Upadesh as found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs him, as quoted here in the purport, Kabu. Kabu means at any time. Kabu na badibe tomara vishaya taranga. We discussed that taranga, waves, vishaya taranga, waves of sense gratification. You will not at any time be affected by the waves of sense gratification. Punarapi etani pabe mora sangha, but rather you will have my association again. Or you will never lose my association. So this is the process. By instructing the Brahmin Kurma, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed all of us. We can stay wherever we are, and Krishna Nam Nirantara, always engage in chanting the holy name of Krishna, and Yare Deke Tarika, Krishna Upadesh, repeat the message of Krishna. And in the end, we will have the eternal association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is so clear. All we have to do is do it. But as Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture in Boston, that Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, but difficult for the crooked. So, Hare Krishna. But it's simple, provided we're simple. Now, this is extraordinary that the Lord instructed Priyavrata, who was completely renounced, to enter Grihastha Ashram, take charge of the kingdom, and enjoy the objects of the senses. Of course, that could be another discussion, what it means to enjoy. But I will tell you a story that Srila Prabhupada told us. In Bombay, in the winter of 1972, Srila Prabhupada was reading to the devotees from the Nectar of Devotion. And early in the Nectar of Devotion, there is a discussion of Bhakti Ras, Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the rus, or the taste of devotional service, continues eternally, whereas the tastes in the material world are temporary. And therefore, people in the material world always want to change their position. And this is called boga and tyaga. They say, in simple terms, they work hard. That's like tyaga. They give up enjoyment to work hard to earn money. But after a week of working hard, they become disgusted. I mean, actually, it doesn't even take a week, but they have to wait a week. And they get disgusted, and they can't wait to leave. I mean, I've seen, they're just like looking at their watches, just waiting for the magic moment to come when they can leave the office or the shop and enjoy boga, the weekend, boga, they can enjoy. But after enjoying for the weekend or whatever the duration is, they become restless because the money is being spent, no new money coming in. So they go back to their hard work. So this is always alternating back and forth. So this is on the material platform. But what about us devotees? It appeared that Priyavrata was engaged in tyaga, and then the Lord himself asked him to engage in boga. How does this work for a devotee? Our Srila Prabhupada asked the very same question to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that Rupa Goswami was sleeping under a different tree every night. So it seemed to be tyaga. Actually, he was a minister and living in very great opulence. But he left it to come to Vrindavan and live under a different tree every night. So that appears to be tyaga. And Ramananda Rai, he was a governor. He lived in great opulence and had great power. So it seemed that he was in the position of boga. But both Rupa Goswami and Ramananda Rai were devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how do we reconcile this? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave an amazing answer. And he referred to a technical term, Proshita Bratrika, which is a wife when her husband is away from home. When the husband is away from home, the wife dresses in very plain cloth, sleeps on the floor, does not bathe or dress herself very nicely. She lives in a very austere way, like Tyaga. And the same wife, when her husband is at home, she takes bath twice a day, she puts aromatic oils on her body, and she dresses in nice cloth and decorates herself with ornaments. It's like Boga. But actually, she's the same in both situations, because in both situations, the central point is the husband, to please the husband. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that that is the position of the devotee. He may be sleeping under a tree like Rupa Goswami, but the purpose is to please Krishna. The central point is Krishna. And Ramananda Rai may be living in an opulent palace, but the central point is Krishna, to please Krishna. And so he said that we are not interested in bhoga or tyaga, but we are interested only in pleasing Krishna. And after telling that story, Srila Prabhupada said the same thing to us. We have nothing to do with bhoga and we're not after bhoga or tyaga. We are after Krishna's satisfaction. And that is pure bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada exemplified it. He exemplified it. Sometimes he lived in very opulent circumstances, and sometimes he lived in very simple circumstances. But he was not concerned. He was concerned only with Krishna's satisfaction. When we went to the Ardha Kumbh Mela with Srila Prabhupada in 1971, end of 70, beginning of 71, he was living in a tent. And it was very cold. It was very cold. I mean, I shouldn't say, but the truth must be told, that it was so cold that we disciples didn't want to get out of our sleeping bags in the morning. We had our tent, and we had our sleeping bags, and Srila Prabhupada became aware of the fact that we were sleeping late. And Srila Prabhupada did not, I mean, it was a fixed principle that you had to attend Mangal Arati. It was not a matter of discussion. I mean, you had to attend Mangal Arati. And when Srila Prabhupada understood what was happening with us, his usual schedule was to take bath later in the day. But for our sake, he came out, and this is another point, that the water that we took bath with came from a well. And that water was really cold. at 4 in the morning. But Srila Prabhupada, at his advanced age and in his fragile health, he came out and took bath in that cold water early in the morning. And of course, when the news reached us, cuddled up in our sleeping bags, we immediately jumped out of our sleeping bags and went to take our baths. So that Prabhupada did that for us example. Precept. Example is better than precept. And then sometimes he would live in an opulent donor's home. But he was the same. He really was the same. He didn't have attachment for either or aversion for either. But he accepted whatever was favorable for Krishna's service. Now, one point that we should keep in mind is that because of our conditioning, even though we're fixed in the order of the Guru, in the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but because of our conditioning, we might be at least superficially affected by the circumstances. And here also, Srila Prabhupada set a wonderful example for us. In one class in London, Srila Prabhupada said to the devotees, everything that Prabhupada said is so deep. I mean, any word could be discussed in detail. But anyway, he said that the difference between you and me, this is not Giriraj Swami me, this is Prabhupada, the difference between you and me is that you can fall down and I cannot. Then afterwards, he was praying in front of the deities. And so one of the disciples asked him, Srila Prabhupada, what were you praying? And Srila Prabhupada replied, I was praying to the deity that I may not fall down. And the disciples said, but Srila Prabhupada, I thought you said you couldn't fall down. And Srila Prabhupada replied, yes, because I'm always praying that I may never fall down, therefore I will never fall down. And he even told us that whenever he would go to a rich man's house in India, he would always be praying not to be like enamored of the rich man's opulence, this mansion or furniture or whatever. So we should keep this mood of humble prayer, because we need shelter at every moment. We need protection at every moment because we are very small. We're very small. So both moods are there, that confidence, but the other mood is also required, that of being humble and feeling oneself to be vulnerable and praying constantly for protection. And one needs both. Otherwise, if we're too fearful, we won't go out. We'll just stay in the house all day afraid of Maya. But guess what? Maya's in the house too. Maya's everywhere. So we don't want to be too fearful and neglect the order. Yare deke tarikaha Krishna upadesh. But we don't want to be overconfident that, you know, I'm liberated. I can go anywhere and do anything. And that is not liberation. Yeah, once one of our God brothers asked Srila Prabhupada about a liberated soul, like how a liberated soul thinks. And Srila Prabhupada immediately replied, liberated does not think he's liberated. As soon as you think you're liberated, you're a rascal. Liberated never thinks he's liberated. And he quoted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was liberated. I mean, not, of course, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's liberated. But even otherwise, by following the instructions of his spiritual master to chant the holy name, he manifested ecstatic symptoms that are possible only for a devotee on the liberated platform. So even though he was liberated, but he approached his spiritual master that you have told me to chant this mantra and I have been following your instructions, and sometimes I'm laughing, sometimes I'm crying, sometimes I'm rolling on the ground. I feel that my knowledge has been lost by the power of the mantras. I don't know what to do. And his Guru Maharaj was very pleased that he had developed love of Godhead. But he told him, initially, it's a whole story, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that his Guru Maharaj, Guru More Murka Deki Karila Shashana, that my Guru Maharaj considered me to be a great fool and he chastised me. And Srila Prabhupada said, that is liberated. When you feel yourself to be a fool before your spiritual master and are always ready to be chastised by him, that is liberation. And as soon as you think you're liberated, you're a rascal. So we should have that mood. We should have that mood. Because that chastisement can come in different ways. We want to preach. We want to take up the order. Amaragyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. But at the same time, we have to be careful that Krishna and Guru always remain the center. Not that I become the center. Because that's our whole material disease. That we want to be the center. And when one takes up the order, people, they appreciate the message. They appreciate the message and they honor you, they respect you, they worship you, they give you nice prasad, they give you dakshina, they give you a lot of respect and offerings. So we can fall into that bad habit of thinking we're the center. Yeah, they They should worship me. I'm Krishna's representative. They should serve me. That's like really bad to think like that. That's really bad. So we may get a little chastisement from our guru in some form or another. And we should accept that chastisement and adjust. You know, the guru is very merciful. The Panchatat were very merciful. So if they see we're going astray, they'll give us warnings. They'll give us instructions. But we should be humble and take that warning and make the adjustment. Otherwise, Maya is such, the mind is such, go like a little off, little off, little off, little off, and eventually we're off. So, and yeah, we shouldn't be attached, obviously. Then it will be easy to, whatever the order is, it'll be easy to accept it. Stay here, go there, stay here. Srila Prabhupada, as our acharya, told us of when he made his world headquarters in Los Angeles. It was a very good facility for preaching, and it was by far the most opulent and extensive property that we had in ISKCON. But something went wrong with the disciples, and Prabhupada felt that he should not stay there anymore. So even though he had every facility for his translating, for his preaching, for his organizing, he left. But still, he had a question. Why? He actually asked the deity in Los Angeles, that why? Why are you taking all of this away from me? And then from that, Prabhupada came to India and eventually got the land here and eventually built the Krishna Balaram temple. And then he prayed that now I know that you took that away from me in Los Angeles to give me something better in Vrindavan. It's all absolute, but still Prabhupada said this is like many times better than Los Angeles. So that is another consideration. Srila Prabhupada said Krishna never takes anything away from a devotee except to give the devotee something better. So we feel that Krishna is taking something away, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking something away. We should also think, you know, maybe there's a purpose to it and not resist. Anyway, I think I will there's so much here. But anyway, so one theme here is the higher taste, that by becoming attached to Krishna, one gives up the attachment to material things. Param Dristva Nivartante. And there's another verse, actually beautiful verse in the fourth canto. Yat pada pankaja pilasa vilasa bhaktya. And the meaning is that the waves of material desire keep coming without cessation. And those who are not devotees, karmis or jnanis, yogis, they may try to stop the waves by different processes, but they are unsuccessful. But a devotee, by engaging in the service of Krishna or Vasudeva, he can give up those hard-knotted desires for material enjoyment. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that the waves of a river keep coming. They never stop. But the river flows into the ocean. And sometimes at high tide, the waves of the ocean overflood the river, and the waves of the ocean become more prominent than the waves of the river. So he says, in the same way, even though desires for sense gratification and material enjoyment keep coming, but they can be overflooded by superior desires to serve Krishna. And he says that when a devotee makes plans with his intelligence how to serve Krishna, those desires can be more prominent than the other desires for material enjoyment. So I'll conclude with one story of my own, which is meant to illustrate this point. In the... do we have time for this? Do we have 10 more minutes? Anyway, this goes back to Juhu. And the owner of the Juhu land, Mr. Nair, he was like a very cunning powerful man. So anyway, we entered into this, Prabhupada entered an agreement to buy the land from Mr. Nair. But it turns out that Mr. Nair had the idea was that Mr. Nair and I were going to go down to downtown Bombay to the lawyer's office. And he came with a car. We didn't have anything. Barely had bus fare or train fare. So he had a car. He came with a car. And, of course, a driver. And then there was a lady. And so he arranged it like that I was in the back seat in the middle, and he was on one side and the lady was on the other side. So I thought, this isn't right. You know, I'm a brahmachari. I'm not supposed to sit next to a lady. But I was pretty intimidated by the whole situation. And then I figured, well, all right, she may be someone important, so, you know, she should have one of the window seats, and he's Mr. Nyer, so he should have the other window seat. So I get the middle. You know, I'm like the humble brahmachari. I get the middle. Okay. In a way, it made sense, but I didn't feel comfortable, but I went along with it. So as we're driving, this lady started to put her hand on my upper leg, quite upper leg. And I was 24 years old. And so my mind and senses got a bit wild. And under that influence of youthful energy that Prabhupada mentioned, you know, I was thinking, not thinking, but my mind was saying, well, don't worry about the consequences. You know, just do it. What's the big thing? Don't worry about the consequences. But then I thought, if I actually did something with her, and later it turned out that she was a, I don't know if I should say, reputed or notorious prostitute. But I thought, if I do something with her, then eventually the word is going to get out. And if the word gets out, it will be a disgrace to Srila Prabhupada and his whole mission in Bombay will be thwarted. And then I thought, you know, I can't do this, because I can't do this to Srila Prabhupada. And then I had sort of a glimmer of a realization that I loved Srila Prabhupada more than I loved myself. Because in that state, for myself, I was ready to be a little reckless. I mean, it wasn't really thought out, but I couldn't do that with Srila Prabhupada. So I think this is the principle that our service to our spiritual master and to Srila Prabhupada, our parampara, that has to be more important to us than anything else. We may not be beyond some of the conditioning of the mind and the senses. In fact, we won't be completely beyond that until we are liberated. But at least our attachment to Krishna consciousness, to the order of Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara, that should be stronger than any other attachment. And then on the basis of the strength of our attachment to the Guru, the order of the Guru, the order of Mahaprabhu, we'll be able to continue step by step, just like what Prabhupada said, and we will get that blessing that in the end we will meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates and be in his company eternally. So we really need to cling to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Parampara and really beg for their mercy, beg for their guidance, beg for their protection, so that we won't be deviated by the mind and senses from their order and the promise that following their order carries, and that is that we will be in their association eternally. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? All right, so, any announcements? Or? All right, thank you for listening so patiently and attentively. We will meet again, or we will never be separated. Hare Krishna.